Wow. God bless you guys. Good morning. You look amazing. Thank you for being here today. I feel like I'm closer to you today. Did they move the whole room forward or did they move the stage forward? You look great. You look even better close up. Hey, let me fill you in. If you haven't been here the last few weeks, we're actually in part four of an ongoing message series called Mind Your Own Busyness. It's actually going to be an eight-week series because we're spending a couple weeks on a few different things that we spend most of our busyness on. See, listen, you're going to be busy in 2018. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. If you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a working mom, if you're a stay-at-home dad, if you're a working dad, it doesn't matter if you're single, married, divorced, old, young, fat, skinny, you're going to be busy this year. Because that's how schedules work. That's how life works. The question is, will you be productive? Will you get at the end of the year the fruitfulness that God intended you to get from using your time on the right things? And not just using your time on the right things, but getting the right amount of the right things from doing the right amount of things. In other words, you want to be able to sow seed and get fruit from all of that seed. And if you waste seed on things you have no business being busy on, you're going to produce a lot of busyness, but you're not going to produce any fruitfulness. One of the things that we spend a lot, and I mean a lot of our busyness on, is finances. And last week, we showed a Pastor Robert Morris video from the Blessed Life series. And if you didn't get a book, I think there's four or five copies still at the bookstore. I'll let them know that if you come by and grab that, don't take it if you're not going to read it. But if you're going to read it and you didn't get one last week or you haven't gotten one from us in the past, I want that to be a free gift to you because it's an ongoing conversation that you need to have with God, and there's some real big truths that God wants to teach you about obedience in your finances. But a lot of times when we hear messages like that, we get discouraged because we don't feel empowered because we've created a lot of bad habits in our personal finances, and somebody comes along and they go, you need to honor God with your finances. God's going to release blessing into your life because of finances, and your obedience in that area is going to unlock blessing in your life, and you go, I want to do that. I'm so trapped in debt. I'm so trapped in a bad job. I'm so trapped in bad financial habits. And so one of the problems we have is our relationship with the Word of God and with prayer is we tend to go to God for big spiritual things or emotional things, but we think that God is silent on practical things that relate to our lives, and I'm here to tell you that's not true at all. So what we're going to do today is Drew Bartlett and I are going to spend some time talking today, and I've asked him to come share four really practical things that you can begin to do that are based in God's Word but are practical and can be applied today. So give Drew a big welcome this morning. Hi, Drew. So Drew and I have been friends for some time now. We met here at the church, and I've gotten to know him more and more and really gotten to appreciate some of the very practical disciplines that exist in his home and in his family and in his finances. But Drew, start off by giving us a 30-second autobiography. Tell us about your family. Tell us about your time here at formerly Heritage, now Summit. And then tell us about maybe your work background as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, so we started coming to what was Heritage at the time in 1999. We lived just down the street. And so we've been here basically since then. My wife, Nicole, and our two daughters here, raised in Lincoln, go to Lincoln High School. So in a previous career, I worked at Hewlett-Packard, and I was in the finance department. And I was actually, for some time, I was the controller for our services business for the Americas. And so, in different finance leadership roles. It's kind of my
and they kind of, so just so that people go, oh, you know, obviously it's really easy to be financially successful when you're an executive at HP. You get paid a lot of money, so you can do anything you want. But they sort of phased you out, right? You and several thousand other people, you were on that track to be phased out of that position. So you had to make a mid-career decision to do something else. So just give a 10-second of what that was like.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting, but like, with anything that we've done, I think that we tried to plan in advance because we knew in the technology industry these things happen. So we planned in advance for what would be that next step for us. And so I started actually working in that before my time there was actually even done.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So there are, like I was saying before, we get super inspired or encouraged when we hear spiritual messages about money, and we know people who are followers of Christ want to be obedient to the Word, but they feel unempowered. They feel sort of impotent to do that. So start us off with, first of all, lead us into what, if we just start practicing these things, because this is the beginning of another conversation. This isn't the totality of it.
Right.
So what is this going to lead us to if we just start putting things like this into practice and we continue this conversation?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, again, we're going to touch on a few things that are just really simple steps, and then we'll talk a little bit later about how we get more in-depth into those things and things like FPU growth groups that we're going to be starting in March for that. But that's really what we talk about is that
financial... And we're not shooting for wealth, right?
So exactly.
The goal's not get rich quick.
We definitely talk about that. Financial freedom is not a number. It's not an amount that's in your bank account. That's not the trigger. It's about how do we become set free in our finances, and that's what we want to talk about, how these things can help you do that.
All right, so we're going to do four things today. Start us off with number one. If you want to experience freedom in your finances, what do we do first?
So the first thing is you're going to stop taking, and this is a fill in the blank, stop taking advice from broke people. So I thought we would just sort of ease into this, right? And so we've got a passage here in Proverbs, right? Do you mind if I read that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Proverbs 13:20 says, become wise by walking with the wise, hang out with fools, and watch your life fall to pieces. So quick story, the first kind of memory I have of learning about managing money, I was 9 years old, we were taking a road trip from Arizona where we live to Washington, D.C. This is 3 weeks, 7,500 miles in our Ford van, my brother and sister and my parents. we averaged being in the car 5 to 8 hours a day during that trip for 3 weeks straight. And so you can imagine we would get bored from time to time. This is pre-cell phone, pre-handheld video, no DVDs in the car. And so my brother and I were sitting in the back bench seat of this, our Ford van. It was pretty large, so there was some room there. And I had reached over and I found some loose change in a cup holder. And just before I even got a chance to count it, or I was 9 years old, what am I even going to do with this? My brother leans in, he's 15, he says, you know what we should do with that? And I was like, whatever you want. You're my older brother. You know, must be a great idea. He says, we should crack open the back window and drop these coins out on the freeway. Now, we're going 70 miles an hour, and there's plenty of cars on the freeway. And I said, fabulous, let's do it, because I didn't know any better. And so I was just following my brother. So that madness went on for like a minute before my mom figured out what was going on, and she almost literally tattooed two things on my brain. As it relates to managing money, the number one thing that I remember from that conversation, one-way conversation, was that that you should never never be wasteful with the resources that God gave you, right? Hmm. Every penny counts. And the second thing was don't ever, ever take money advice from your 15-year-old brother. Now, our issue is not that we go around asking for financial advice from a 15-year-old boy. The issue is we don't tend to ask anybody. We think, oh, we'll take it on ourselves. Maybe we subconsciously mirror what we saw our parents doing, for better or worse, or indifferent how they manage money. We do that. Otherwise, we kind of look around and we say, who seems to have it all together based on what we see? And we start emulating that. And here's the problem. There's a couple issues with that when we don't ask for advice, but we try and emulate what we see, is that spending is a very visible behavior. And so we can see that, and we watch that, and we see that with people. But there are things that are not visible to the public generally, things like saving, putting away money for later. Things like giving generally is not a public behavior that we see. So we emulate what we see, which is spending and accumulating things. And the second issue is that studies show that 78% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, which means if there wasn't a second pay period this month, you wouldn't have enough money in the bank to purchase groceries or gas for your car or whatever it might be. So we need to stop this following this picture that we have or that we think we have of what financial health or freedom looks like, and we need to actually get to a place where we gain knowledge for ourselves and wisdom and we walk with the wise in this area so that we're not following my broke brother who leans in and says, hey, you know what we should do with that, right?
Well, because when people are spending, and we see a lot of that, I was talking to actually somebody yesterday about this, how culturally it feels right to leverage debt, to always be in debt, to use debt. So a lot of people run out and get cars they can't afford in totality, but they get them because they can afford a monthly payment. And then it puts us all into, I mean, what, 70-something percent are in debt? Average Americans are in debt?
Yeah, actually, it's 71% that are spending more each year than they earn. So, correct. This is why we need to start asking for advice and walking with wise people, because if we just follow what we see, our picture of that, 80% of who we might follow are as broke as, you know, my brother was when he was 15. So that's why we need to start asking those questions and gaining that wisdom for ourselves.
So let me ask you this. So we talk about FPU, which is Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. It's a course. It's a 9-week course. You guys started teaching that here a long time ago.
We did. So we've been doing that for 12 years.
Okay.
And we've had about 350 people go through that group / seminar, depending on what format we use. But we really love the small group format. And so that's the first thing that I can encourage you to do if you haven't taken FPU before, is sign up in March and be part of our small group and our growth group there. And in that FPU 9 weeks, we'll be able to go into depth on some of the things that we'll touch on briefly today, and gain that wisdom for yourself so that you know what you're going to do when those resources are in your hands.
Awesome. So number one, don't take advice from broke people.
Correct.
Follow wise people, get good advice on finances. Number two is what?
Yeah, number two is set goals that will set you free. In Proverbs 21:5, it says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. So I really want to unpackage this idea of setting the right goals to be free in your finances. No better place to start than the great philosopher of our day, Jim Carrey, who says, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of, so that they can see that it's not the answer. And I love that because it reminds us that, again, freedom in your finances is not a number. It's not triggered when you earn a certain income, and it doesn't trigger just because you have $1 million in your bank account. And if you want to know how I know that, it's because 70% of jackpot lottery winners, these are the big lottery winners, 10, 20, $100 million, 70% of them are actually bankrupt within 5 years of winning the lottery. So there is no way that financial freedom is from a number, the size of your bank account that's there. And so if freedom is not attaining something that way, we have to ask, well, what would bring financial freedom in our lives? And so you have to ask yourself, what is the opposite of freedom? And the opposite of freedom is slavery, right? And the Bible says that the borrower is slave to the lender. So logically, you could understand that if we're able to pay off those debts and no longer be a slave to the lender, that we gain our freedom in doing that, right? So I want to encourage you to be intentional in setting goals to be debt-free. And we talk about this baby step two in FPU, and we can go through that. But just know that saying and raising your hand and declaring, I want to be debt-free, is not an effective way to do it. And we break it down and let you know it needs to be a specific goal statement that you make.
Right.
What debt, in what order, and what will you do differently to have the resources to then pay that off?
And a good place to start for them is probably determining why they want to be debt-free to begin with.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So
what's their motivation to do it?
Right. How will you feel if you were debt-free? What is your big why? And I tell people all the time, you have to have a really big why so that you can overcome any what or how that's going to come up
right
during that process. And the last point on this I want to say is, so we'll go through an FPU, and I make myself available anytime if you have questions on kind of tips on this, how to do this, but I want you to know you'll never realize how heavy the burden of debt is in your life until it's gone. And if you see people who have lost 50, 80, 100 pounds, and they have these pictures afterwards, right? And they're standing with pictures of weights that that symbolize how much weight they've actually lost. And they'll tell you, I couldn't even pick this up off the ground, and somehow I was carrying this on my body 24 hours a day. I couldn't even pick this up. I couldn't bear it. You won't realize how big of a burden, how much weight you're actually carrying around until it's gone. And so I really want to encourage you to figure out, how do we become intentional about getting out from under debt and having that freedom that lifts that burden off of you?
Okay, so one of the really practical ways is number three that you're going to tell us. What if we want to get financial freedom, experience freedom in our finances, what's the number three thing? Because I think this is going to move us towards what you just said.
Great. So number three is discover where your treasure lies. One of my favorite verses is Matthew 6:21. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. If you're going to actually get out from underneath this burden of debt, if that's a situation, and please know, FPU is not just for folks who are in a financial crisis at all. You could have, things have been going great for you in your finances, and praise God that that's the case. There's always something that we can move ourselves forward in that regard. But in order to make progress in these areas, we have to understand, where is the money going? How am I going to change what I'm doing to have additional resources to then put towards these goals?
Right.
And so some of the things that, I mean, this is as simple as it gets, but from the day one, Nicole and I got married over 21 years ago, we kept every single receipt, every purchase that we had. And you'd say, yeah, that's really, this is, yeah, thanks for that pearl of wisdom, right? The thing is, how do you know where you're going if, you know, how, if you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there, mm-hmm. right? If you don't know, you're going to pass it by, you'll miss it altogether, right? If you shoot at nothing, you're going to hit it every time. And so these are our little breadcrumbs that help us understand where we've been. And we sit down, we keep those every month, we sit down at the end of the month, and we say, okay, are we on track? Where was the money going? Was it based on our plan, which we'll talk about in the next step?
Well, I don't think most people realize, if you sat down and pulled everybody and said, where does most of your money go?
Right.
They would say, they would talk about fixed things like mortgage or car payment or insurance or whatever. And really the question is, where does all the money not going to fix things go to?
Right.
And that's where a ton of the waste happens, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
if we tracked all of our Starbucks receipts alone
right.
at $4 or $5 a pop,
right.
three times a day,
yeah.
and you go 15 times a day times 30 days in a month, $450 for, right?
Yeah.
Starbucks alone.
Right.
And you go, what could that money do if it were put in
exactly.
something else?
So really simple. I mean, next month, February is coming up. So if you don't do this, and I know that most people do not, make it a month of, I'm going to collect every receipt, see how many receipts I actually collect. Don't necessarily have to change what you're doing other than the barista asks you at Starbucks, do you want a receipt? You say, absolutely, right? The gas pump asks you when you're done filling up your tank with gas,
right?
It says, do you want a receipt? The answer is yes, right? Collect every one of those, put it in here. I mean, I'm looking at September 1996, right, in this little folder that we had. Still have the receipts in here, and it's hilarious to look at here and see what we were spending money on or what we were not at that time, because life changes over time, right? And so you adjust as you go. But, you know, this is a practice that we've done from the very beginning of our marriage, and I can tell you a list of maybe four or five keys to our marriage, not just our financial
right.
situation. Saving receipts is one of those couple of keys, and it sounds silly, but this is the information that we need to know if we're on track or not.
Right. So here's a question, because you brought up you and Nicole partnering in this. Mm-hmm. Do you sort of feel like maybe that's one of the big obstacles that people face, is that you've got one partner who spends or saves or prioritizes differently than the other partner does, and that's a recipe for maybe bad financial health?
Yeah. I mean, we know from going through FPU and Dave Ramsey, who put this entire thing together, 5 million people have gone through it. Obviously, there's some time and effort to know what order do you do these steps. One of the first things we talk about is sitting down, if you're married, with your
right.
spouse, sitting down and having this conversation about how do we get on the same page,
yeah.
right? So much of what happens in marriage is about potentially money issues or money fights and that kind of thing, and we need to get on the same page and say, what are our goals as it relates to this? And some of you may have, you know, guys might have some goals, and ladies have different ones. We got to find the ones that overlap and get committed on those two things so that when one of us gets tired or, you know, is this really worth it? The
right.
other person is there and says, yeah, this is absolutely worth it. And those energy levels will ebb and flow. But if there's both of you that are committed to that, I mean, that's absolutely something that we do. And we'll talk in the next step about how we keep that a regular practice
yeah.
Every month.
And because statistically, just so we're setting everybody up with realistic expectations, there's typically somebody in the marriage who's more conservative with money. And typically, so is that true?
There's
usually yeah. an inequality in priorities.
There's a nerd and a free spirit,
okay.
generally speaking, and they tend to attract each other. Yeah, if you have two spenders, that's a different small group that we'll want to go through. But typically, there's a nerd and a free spirit,
right.
and you need to understand what motivates each of those types of personalities.
Just out of curiosity, which one are you and which one is Nicole?
I
know the answer, but I just want everyone else to know the answer.
Yeah.
Because I see you both actually as...
So we're both nerds.
Yeah.
I think you'd agree. Nicole's a little more of a nerd than I am. But we are both nerds. Yeah. I think it's a little uncommon. But
yeah. Yeah.
It works
but,
for us.
But I will say this. It hasn't impacted your generosity because you're generous
yeah.
people, which well, I think... because of that, you've empowered yourselves to, right, have the resources to be empowered because you've managed the stewarded the resource as well.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be a nerd to be a giver.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's something that's in, and it's actually a great lead into the last point that we'll talk about. But no, that's a... I'll share that in the next
book. Okay, so if you want to experience freedom in your finances, yeah. Number four, what's the fourth and final thing?
Control your money so it doesn't control you.
Awesome.
Right? Luke 14:28 says, just imagine that you want to build a tower. Wouldn't you first sit down and estimate the cost to be sure you have enough to finish what you start?
Mm-hmm.
So to your point, well, let's talk a little bit about, first, have you heard of money referred to as currency before,
mm-hmm.
right? You ever wonder why it's called currency, right? It's because there is a flow to money. Money is always flowing around. There's a current that happens. It moves in and out of people, companies, governments, right, economies.
Right.
It's constantly moving, and there's a kind of an economic principle there that money flows away from people who can't manage it, and it flows to people who can.
Wow.
Who can control it. And so I think it's really important to understand kind of that principle and to ask you this question. Do you know that we're all called to be money managers?
Mm-hmm.
Free spirits, nerds, right? Doesn't matter. We're all called to be money managers because the Bible says that God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And my Dave Ramsey folks out there would know, and he owns the hills too, right?
Mm-hmm.
He owns everything. Our amazing huge God created everything, and therefore the creator gets to own what was created, right?
Right?
And so he owns everything. And if you hear nothing else, please know that this area of finances is something that actually is something that brings, I'll speak for myself, and I think Nicole would agree, I feel closer to God in certain situations, which I'll share an example of, strictly related to finances. It's a way that we grow closer to each other, and I'll share about that. But the thing that I love is that my God, who is huge and amazing and created the universe, said, I want you to be, you, Drew, you, Pastor Chris, Nicole, I want you to be part of managing what I own.
Right.
Which makes me think, gosh, I can't believe he's, one, he's paying attention to me that much, right? And he wants me, he trusts me to then manage that. So, quick story, we were down in LA recently visiting some family, and I needed to get gas for the car, and Emma and I were in the car, we were just getting gas. Went to the first couple of gas stations, it was either too full or hard to get into, so we just ended up, whatever the next one was, we pulled in. I start filling up gas, and very clearly, very obvious, God says to me, hey, I need you to buy somebody gas. And I'm looking around and nobody's there. I thought, okay. So you're going to have to let me know what this means. But it's a voice that I recognize that I've heard before. And so I said, okay, great. Let's see what this happens. So I'm filling up with gas. And about a minute later, this beat up kind of old Explorer pulls in. And the driver's side window's busted out. And he pulls in across the pump from me and leans out the broken window. And he says, hey, listen, buddy, I would never ask you for money, but my car was just broken into. They broke the window. They stole my wallet. I don't have enough gas. And he said, could you buy me some gas?
Hmm.
And I said, absolutely. So I finish up.
Did you say, no,
gas.
I'm waiting for God to show me who I'm supposed to buy gas for?
I need a sign. So I finish up, and I walk around the pump, and I tell him, I said, hey, you want to hear something really cool? I said, a minute ago, God told me I needed to buy gas for somebody, and you drove up, and you said, could you buy me some gas? And he looked a little surprised, but was really grateful and said, man, thank you so much. And I said, don't thank me. I said, God is good. And without hesitation, he looked back at me and he said, all the time.
Hmm.
And it's those types of moments that make me want to be a better money manager.
Yeah.
Because God is calling us to be part of this plan that he's worked out. And the cool thing is that he, in that moment, this person, I don't know that he was a believer or not, but this person realizes that before he even asked for what he needed, God was working out a plan and making that happen through somebody
right.
to provide for it. And at the same time, I realize that the God of the universe wants me to be part of this awesome adventure that he has of owning it all, but having me help manage that to where he wants and needs it to go. And that if I was ever in a situation where I had a need, right. I know that he's working that out. And it might be through one of you to be that person who helps manage and deliver that to him. So it doesn't matter if you're a nerd or a free spirit, or if you're in a situation where you are struggling with finances right now, or you're totally blessed with him, he wants you to be involved in that, what I call the great adventure with him, to help him manage the resources to where his heart is and where he wants that to be. And so think about it, in order to then be in that position where I not only hear what he's saying, but I'm open to it,
right.
and I want to be involved in that,
right.
we have to order our finances in a way that gives us the room to be able to hear that. Because I'm telling you, these opportunities are floating by you all the time, but you're not able to hear it because what's loudest in your head is, I owe this, or I got to make the car payment, or whatever it might be. And so to me, financial freedom is getting to a place where all of that is in the background and you're not worried about that. And what you hear is God tapping you on the shoulder and saying, I got this really cool plan. I need to get this money over to this, you know, other brother or sister of yours, and I want you to be part of it, right? And that's what I want you to hear, rather than not being in a situation where you have things in order, and the minute you find a little bit of loose change in your hand, right, whoever it is leans over and goes, you know what you should do with that, right? So that to me is what the financial freedom part is.
Well, because we're getting ready to, two things I wanted to say and just get your last minute feedback on it. In Western culture, we have, and Pastor Brian and I were recently talking about this, almost everywhere else in the world, people see money as finite, limited. There's only so much, and so when you have more, it means somebody else necessarily has less. In Western culture, we think money is infinite and can be generated from anywhere. So if your job's not giving you enough, play the lottery and the lottery will give you more money. Or you can go start a business if you haven't succeeded in your work life somewhere else. That there's just more and more money, but it's not true. There's only so much money, and God has given us those resources, that currency. And I absolutely believe what you just said. It always moves away from people who can't manage it well and moves towards people who can manage it well. And we tend to resent those people and just think, if I could be in their shoes. But those people have already decided what to do with their money before they ever got the money, right? So, I mean, we've got, you and I were talking about this, tax returns are coming out.
Oh, right. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so to talk for 10 seconds on tax returns. I'll give you actually 11 seconds.
Okay, great. So many of us end up getting a tax refund at the end of the year, which just means that the government held a little bit more than it needed to throughout the year, and you get that back in a lump sum, right? And so we work with people all the time and say, don't wait until that just hits your account, and whatever you're feeling at that time, or you just saw a nice car go by and you thought, oh, now I can put it down, right? Before that happens, we need to plan in advance for little extras that come in, right?
Yeah.
Whether it's a tax refund or you may get a raise this year. What are you going to do with that before it actually happens? And whatever the urgent, important crisis is at that moment ends up sucking all of that money away.
Yeah.
And that's where we sit down, Nicole and I, on purpose, on paper, before the month starts every month, and we say, what do we plan on giving? And we set that aside. How are we going to save this month? We set that aside. And then whatever is left and the expenses that come up, right? Whatever those things are, we plan all of that out in advance. And we say, if a little extra comes in, maybe some of you are on variable income, commission, that type of thing. If a little bit extra comes in, what are we going to do with that? So we know in advance what that'll be.
And because this doesn't sound fun, right? It doesn't. I mean, no, nobody, but you guys
nerds
actually
love it. I was going to say that, but no.
I mean, it's not, no discipline is fun. Losing weight's not fun. Working out's not fun. It produces results, and they're healthy results, and it moves you towards the place you really want to be. But you guys actually budget in a percentage or at least an amount for you and the kids to just have fun with, right? That there's no judgments, no questions asked. You go, this is our fun money, right?
Yeah.
So that not everything's a...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen, we've done this now, if you count out the months, somewhere over 250 months, right? We've done this. So it tends to become a rhythm, and it is easy. And you know what's fun is at the end of the month and there's extra money and God calls you to do something, or you want to go out and, you know, buy something because you've managed what you have well. That is fun, right?
Yeah.
And so Yeah, give it a couple of months, right? It's going to be a little rocky at the start, but if I can just say again, it's not about, oh, if I can just get to that one number, then I can relax and hang out and say, now where's the freedom? Where does it feel, right? This to me is creating a situation where you have that extra.
Right.
And so one of the things we do is, yeah, we have blow money, whatever you want to call it, right? And so that either one of us, we have a set amount every month and we get whatever we want. No judgments. No, right. Oh, I can't believe, why'd you spend money on that? Or I didn't know you were going to the ATM, right? All these little things that start potential arguments. We set that aside and we go, have fun with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. But to me, creating space, planning for what may come in, because God may have a plan for that, your goals to get out of debt and that type of thing, that little bit of extra that's there, if you plan that in advance, can help move you towards that. And I just want to encourage you that as you get to a place where you do feel more freedom in your finances this way, I don't think it's just a me thing. Your relationship with the Creator who owns it all, who's asking you to manage it,
right.
You get closer to Him with that.
Yeah.
And then you want to do that because you want to feel that closeness that you have with Him. It's not, I got to do a spending plan this month. It's, I want to get closer to Him, and this is one of the ways that I do it. So I encourage people with that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Let me say just a couple closing thoughts. Jesus gives a great parable. Jesus always told stories, the Bible says. He never went to a crowd without telling a story. And one of the stories he tells is how a master over his servants entrusts them with what are called talents. It's a money system. It's a currency. And he gives each one of them a proportionate amount of money. Some of them get a couple, some get five, some get 10. And each one of them on their own is given the ability to manage that, hide it, spend it, invest it, do whatever. He just says, I'm going away and I'm going to come back and I'm going to want to report on this. And if you've read the passage, the story, then you know that the master comes back and holds them accountable for what they did. And one of them took that and buried it and didn't do anything with it at all. He said, I knew you were a shrewd man. I knew you were frugal. I knew you cared about your money, and so I hid it. And he chastises him because the others had actually gone out and done something with it, managed it well, multiplied it. And he went to the one and he rewarded the others. He increased their wealth because he said, you can be trusted with resources. And with the other, he said, you can't be trusted. And there was punishment. And speaking to what Drew just said is, one of the most spiritual things that we can do is manage God's resources well. I've had people come to me after we've done messages on giving and tithing, because there's a difference between giving and tithing. Tithing is absolutely an act of obedience. It's 10%. It's a biblical prescription. If you're one of those people that just goes, it was an Old Testament or law principle, you're absolutely wrong. You're just wrong. You don't know the Bible. And I don't mean to be hard on you. I don't mean to be mean. You don't know Scripture. Study Scripture. Jesus himself said to the priest, he said, you're so devout to tithing. He said, you actually cut up your spices. You take chili powder and you give 10%. You take cumin, you give 10%. You take parsley, you give 10%. He said, that's amazing, but you're not kind to people. You don't show mercy to people. He said, don't stop doing the first. Just make sure you're also doing the second. But I've had people who come to me afterwards and they said, I started tithing last month and we're still drowning in debt and we're still... I don't want you to ever believe that obedience to God is like a coin that goes into the slot machine or it's a magical scratcher. Lisa's been watching this, you know, House Hunters, but it's a specific House Hunters for people who have won the lottery. It makes you want to go buy scratchers. It's when you're watching the show, you're like, I want a new house. I'm going to go buy a scratcher because that's how you get a new house, apparently. They made a whole show about it. Sometimes we think that God is our scratcher genie. And we go, all right, Lord, I put 10% in the offering. Can I tell you this? You can't plant weeds for 10 years and then plant a tomato plant the next day and not expect to be dealing with the weeds that you've been planting for 10 years. It's not that the tomato plant isn't going to produce fruit. It's you've spent 10 years planting seeds that destroy and choke out. You're just going to have to work harder. But I want to tell you this, that God puts favor on obedience. And all of the stuff you did that was outside of God's plan for your life, God is going to come along and he's going to be your partner in spraying weed killer on all that. And he's going to be your partner in fertilizing this thing. You know, they say the grass is always greener on the other side. The grass is always greener where you're fertilizing water. You can take a dead lawn and bring it back to life if you just spend the time doing it. And your finances may feel dead to you, and you may feel trapped. Drew could tell you stories, if you want to catch him afterwards, of those right here at this church who have gone through this, who have been thousands of dollars, thousands and thousands of dollars in debt when they started FPU. And by the end, they had paid off some of that debt, if not all of that debt, and also increased their savings because God favors and blesses the things we do in response to obedience to him. And so I want to encourage you. I want you to leave here equipped and encouraged, because money can be the most destructive, I'm going to call it an invader in your life, if you don't view money the way God views money, which is just a tool that can be misused, can be misappropriated, can be misspent, or it can be used to change lives. It can be used as a catalyst of God's will in your life. Because there were times when we didn't have coins and dollar bills. We had cattle and we had crops and we measured wealth differently. But it's all the same thing. It's all limited possessions, all limited resources, all limited currency. That if you mismanage it, it's going to bring heartache and pain. And if you manage it well and in a way that honors God, God's going to provide for your family. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these. Jesus was talking about material wealth. He said, all these things will be taken care of for you. So I want you to leave here equipped. And two things, if you didn't get the Blessed Life book, there's only 5 left, but if they're gone, I'll order some more. And for 1 more week, I'll give those away. But then they go back, because we pay full price for those. We're not getting some. Amazon doesn't go, oh, that's awesome. You're buying those for your church? Go ahead. You can have them. They're free on us. No, we pay for them, but we believe that it's life-changing and life-impacting. And then number two is this. We don't charge anything for FPU. You actually go directly to Dave Ramsey's website and buy the kit. And that's an investment worth making. But I want to encourage you to be a part of this FPU that's going to be starting in March. And get that book. That is a gift from us to you for free. And if you need to, Drew's made himself available and say, could I buy you coffee? Could I buy you lunch? Could I take you out and just pick your brain? Because here's what we're going through and we need some advice. I've had him sit down with families and it's turned around their finances because he just helps them identify some key things that they can start doing right away. And he's not a financial planner. He's not any of that. But he's one of the wise people that you could walk with, right? And there are maybe other people in your life that could do that for you as well. But God's word wants you to practically succeed in the here and now. God's not trying to teach you to manage resources well so that you bring in your coffin a bunch of money when you get to heaven, right? Can I pray over you? Father, I love these people. They're my family. They are my community. They are who I love, and they're who I think about, and they're who I pray for, and they're who I want to succeed. And it breaks my heart when I see struggles and frustrations and difficulties that can be avoided. And God, I absolutely hate seeing any one of us, including myself, not living at our highest and best in our marriages, in our parenting, in our finances, because those things are all so intimately woven together. And so, God, my prayer is this for us today, that we would set down all the guilt, all the condemnation, all the self-judgment, all the judgment by others. We would just set it all aside and go, I've got nothing to lose by doing things differently, and not just differently, but doing things God's way. I want to change up the way I manage his resources so that I draw close to him, so that I can hear the whispers of God in my life, so that I've already told every dollar where it goes because I make every one of those dollars obedient to the will of God in my life. And I know that God's going to prosper me. I know that God's going to bless me. I know that success is going to come because that's what his word promises. I know that God can't out-bless my stupid spending. And so no matter how many blessings God sends my way, if I mismanage that, God just says, I can't trust you with it anymore. And so make me and every single person sitting in this room the kind of people that you can trust with your resources, the resources of people's souls, the resources of dollars that affect people's lives, the resources of dollars that bless our own family. We pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.